Welcome to Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Rack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. So today, I want to start talking about this thing that came out yesterday about Nick Bosa. And Bo and I are both still in the camp that Nick Bosa should be the number one pick overall. We've kind of ignored the hype, the Kyler Murray train, that everything, you know, for the last several weeks, this is what has been permeating the city of Phoenix and the state of Arizona is Kyler Murray's going number one. They're going to trade Josh Rosen, or they're going to keep both of them. And we think both of those decisions would be stupid for the future of the franchise. And we talked a little bit yesterday. I do want to touch on this today, too, on Steve Keim's decision-making, how much of it, what percentage is actually for the betterment of the franchise, and what percent is actually trying to save his own ass.
Yeah, also, I think that if the Arizona Cardinals do, in fact, make the pick of Kyler Murray number one overall, it changes a narrative that's been going on about Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury. I think that's something that we can get into that conversation along with what you were saying. But yeah, so the Nick Bosa, who could still be the number
he's
one
still
pick.
Coming out he's still coming he's, out he could still be the number one pick if
he's
you want
still
him to be.
I think the top prospect in this NFL draft when you've looked at a lot of the rankings, when it's just based on where the prospects stack up, not just based on position or past you know, the history between a prospect and a head coach and everything that's in play right now for the NFL draft. Nick Bosa still continues to be the top prospect. I think everybody feels like he's the most polished pass rusher in this draft, which is a draft that's very heavy, dense in the defensive line. And Nick Bosa, for whatever reason, stands out. You mentioned yesterday, I don't know if we went to air with it, but Nick Bosa, the Urban Meyer kind of shed some light on how serious his injury actually was, the core injury that he had surgery on. And up until the scouting combine, I think he was at 8 weeks removed from being healthy enough to really return to activities. He certainly looked rusty, right?
Yeah, his numbers were not there, what everybody expected.
But it wasn't enough to take him off the pedestal as the top prospect.
Yeah, I mean, and then he came out yesterday. There's this Pro Football Talk article they pulled from somewhere in Ohio, I believe. And
this was an interview with ESPN.
Oh, it was ESPN.
Yeah.
Okay, my apologies. But I saw it on Pro Football Talk, and pretty much, Cliff Notes, Nick Bosa tweeted out a couple things a while back, one of which was a pro-Trump tweet, and one of which was a tweet that said Colin Kaepernick is a clown. He had since deleted those tweets, and he was asked about it, and it was pretty much directly correlated with the fact that he could be drafted by San Francisco, and he thought it would be bad optics for him to continue his pro-Trump support publicly through Twitter and other social media outlets if he were to be drafted by San Francisco. And it's funny, because Jody talked about this yesterday on The Drive, right?
Uh-huh.
You guys talked about it a little bit on your show, Fox Sports 910 Phoenix 4 to 7, Monday through Friday. And Jody had a completely different take than I did. I thought this is very mature for a kid that, even though it's probably unnecessary, it shows self-awareness for a dude that's coming out. He's 21 years old. The Bosa family already has a pseudo stigma attached to it with Joey Bosa and the contract negotiations that went awry and then came full circle with him sitting out before his rookie year. I think this is a good thing for a young player to be self-aware enough to realize, hey, those are my opinions. I'm not going to change my opinions, but maybe I do it in a different way or not as publicly.
I agree with you, but he did it in an immature way, which is weird say. So he was self-aware, but then he immaturely brought attention to his actions. If he had just done it, if he just put a plan in place that, okay, I'm done tweeting about my conservative values, my support for Donald Trump, and he just kind of went on and kind of stuck to sports or whatever because he felt like if he was drafted by a very liberal city in San Francisco, that it would negatively affect him. Sure, I think that, yeah, you're right. He is self-aware. But the fact that he's in an interview and somebody says, you know, you've toned down your social media posts, you're going to stick to football instead. He says, quote, I had to, telling ESPN, there's a chance I might end up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a good spot to where you don't need to say that, right?
But isn't this the day and age of getting out in front of things?
Yeah,
like this could be an old freezing cold takes or old takes exposed on Twitter.
Right.
People find everything. So why not just say it? This is going to be a non-story in 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So why not just say it, get rid of it, and move on with your day?
Because you don't even need to say anything. You just need to, if you think that that's going, if you're going to be raked over the coals, which I think would be incorrect, I think that that's at the fault of the fan base if they want to hold it against him that he's conservative. The idea that we can't have people from all sides of the aisle in a locker room or in a workplace in this situation is completely ignorant. It's stupid, right? But I don't think he would have to remove tweets, but if he wants to do that, go ahead. But to come out and say, I'm going to stop tweeting because, hey, I could ruffle the feathers there in the city that I could go play for, I think that that was unnecessary. It was just bringing on people being able to kind of criticize him.
Now, would this have come out if Arizona already said they're going to draft Nick Bosa? I mean, Arizona's getting a little bit more, getting more and more liberal in pockets every day, definitely compared to a decade ago.
It's a purple state now. I mean, so, it used to be pretty red, and now it's become purple, and I think that you probably are around, you know, 50-50 as far as what the fan base would feel. But we've seen the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Bidwell and the team website put out their support for
Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh. So they haven't exactly stayed neutral.
Right.
But I think that they know the bulk of their fan base and the fact that they have never been tied to a Kaepernick and that they've also been not lobbying, but in support of a conservative candidate for the Supreme Court. I think that they know where they can go and that which way they can err on the side of, right? They can be center right.
Alex Clancy,
more
Bo
so
Brock,
center left.
Fox Sports 910 contingent here. On the other side, there's already a guy on the Arizona Cardinals that is kind of making waves politically, and I promise we're not going to talk about politics. That's it. We'll be right back. Locked On Cardinals. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Listen to me on the Freaks 1 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, Bo 4 to 7 on the drive. Josh Rosen wore an F. Trump hat.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's before, because Bo is a little bit more, he's got more politics in his blood. He's more, I'm 100% more well spoken in politics. And I promise we are not going to talk about politics.
No.
This is just two different sides of the coin. One liberal in Josh Rosen, where in this day and age of social media and the president that that we have, the outspokenness from both sides has never been more prevalent. I mean, it's just, say what you wish about it, but Josh Rosen came out on the other side of the coin as Nick Bosa. Cardinals had no problem with him
that.
In a golf tournament, right? It was after they drafted him.
Was it after?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe it was right after they drafted him.
Whenever it was, I honestly believe that Josh Rosen has gotten away and done probably the anti-Nick Bosa and just, with his actions, avoided getting into political issues.
Oh, no, it was before. Okay. Sorry.
So he was at UCLA.
Yeah, he was at UCLA still. Man, I thought that he wore it way after.
Let me ask, when you're living in Los Angeles, isn't that going to be far more accepted than being on the other side of things, than being on the other side of the aisle? If Nick Bosa was wearing a MAGA hat,
yeah,
he would probably have been raked over the coals.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just, when you look as far as where things stand and how things are going to be perceived, I think Nick Bosa, as far as his strategy, outside of telegraphing his moves, is smart this day and age, right? Because I think one side's probably more accepted than the other. I think that what Josh Rosen did would probably be more widely accepted than what if Nick Bosa were to wear a MAGA hat or be pro-Trump in his tweets, don't you think?
Yes.
But regardless, I think you're just going to divide a potential fan base. We don't necessarily have to, right? If no matter where you fall in the aisle, we know that you're going to have this side wanting one thing and this side wanting another. And if you just want to stay out of the arena, it's probably wise for you, especially if you're somebody that wants to be known for your football prowess and to make as much money as an endorser. You know, if you want Nike, what did Michael Jordan famously say? Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah.
So Nick Bosa, Josh Rosen, I think that they're both realizing as they make the transition from amateur to professional that there is value in just shutting up about your politics for a while.
Well, agreed. And look at one of the best scenario, and I'm not comparing these two players directly. Tom Brady, he's friends with Donald Trump. Him and Bob Kraft have a relationship with him.
Look at LeBron James on the other side of things. I mean, it's LeBron James was
But my point is that Tom
is
Brady...
Brand.
Yeah.
He's not going to sully his brand at this point at 34 years old. LeBron James, if he was 18 years old and he was making these comments, it probably was going to be a longer road to where he is now. He can say whatever. I mean, LeBron James is already established. These guys are just getting after it.
Right.
But they also see what's going on around him, and that's fine. And I think I appreciate his self-awareness, but I think it was a misstep. It was a huge misstep.
Well, I mean, I also think that every spot you drop in the draft, you lose money. So if he thinks that Kyler Murray is going number one and he talks about San Francisco at two.
That is interesting. That's an interesting part of this,
this equation. You can't, if he went full bore the other way, said screw it, MAGA baby, and just all day wears shirts, hats, whatever. I'm not saying the 49ers would pass on a talent like that just because, but look what they did with Reuben Foster. See ya.
Right.
And had nothing to do. And Reuben Foster, those charges, I believe, were dropped after he was cut. The domestic violence, I need to double check on that because this is not locked on 49ers. I could ask Brian Peacock, but they were...
Star of the Locked On Podcast Network, Brian Peacock.
Jesus. Him and Matt Williams, they are the chosen ones.
It's just kind of... It's an interesting conversation, but the fact that Nick Bosa is kind of alluding to the idea that he's not going number one overall.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's another wrinkle. I didn't want to necessarily bring... All the things we're talking about can be looked at as conspiratorial. They can.
It's all just conspiracy.
That's
speculation.
It. It's speculation.
Yeah, it is. It's just a wild... Like, the NFL... The months leading up to the NFL draft before were crazy. This has just taken on a whole new life. It really is, especially with, you know, the Cardinals being in the position that they are. And
with free agency being as crazy as it's ever been, that's a catalyst for all of this because we didn't have that before. All the free agent signings that happened, all the trades, all this stuff, that didn't happen. Do you remember what was it, 2000? You would know this better than me. 2003, 2002, 2004, something like that, when Champ Bailey got traded for Clinton Portis.
Mm-hmm.
That almost made the NFL implode. Nobody knew what to do.
Yeah, you'd never
when
seen
a player got traded for another player.
Yeah, for equal value. And
if
you look at their careers,
a running back for a cornerback, and it made sense for both teams at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what the hell is going on? And then now it's like, oh, that's a Tuesday.
The NFL trade deadline used to be useless.
Right.
I mean, you never saw big names get dealt. And then we see a guy like Amari Cooper get traded for
a first rounder. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
But now that's just normal business for the NFL. And I hope it's not this nutty every year, right? It's interesting. I don't think that it's necessary. Maybe in this instance, this draft, where there isn't any clear-cut number one guy, that they needed this. They needed this Kyler Murray story to be there.
To be another catalyst, absolutely.
But, I mean, last year you had four quarterbacks who were legitimately in the conversation for number one overall. That was, I mean, they just rode that pony all the way, right? And then, I mean, then you had some clear-cut guys. You had your Andrew Lux. You've mentioned Cam Newton. There were guys that you can't miss guys at the top of the draft. And then you could have fun just kind of projecting the rest of it. I feel like this draft, we haven't made it past number one. We still haven't made it past number one. Sure, you can start doing all your mock drafts and start trying to put pieces where they may fall. But, man, this is the least amount I think we've ever paid attention to beyond number one.
Well,
this is the least we've made it past the pit.
But it
first
seems, but
pick.
Because of how Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals, because of how different the top two options are, it's not two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's not two running backs. It's not two defensive linemen. It's a quarterback that is not a stereotypical quarterback, an edge rusher, and an interior lineman. And an inside linebacker from a school that nobody thought was as good as they were going to be last year, and nobody knows if they're actually as good as advertised. So the four players are four completely different positions, and we're just gonna have to wait for number one just to see where the first domino will push everything else, because everything will fall in line.
Yeah,
it's just who's gonna take what. And again, this is taking away the chances of trades and everything like that. I really hope that something crazy happens at the draft. It's going to be all the same for us, and it's going to be crazy for the Cardinals. Not for like number three, because obviously, you know, we don't want anybody else to have the benefit of getting something that the Cardinals want.
But I mean, also, if it goes the way that people think it's going, if the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray number one overall, and they trade Josh Rosen on draft day, how do Cardinals fans get over the fact that everybody knew what Steve Keim was doing? That this organization telegraphed their move from the very get-go. I mean, Steve Keim was a Sun City resident driving down the I-10 with his blinker on from Sun City into Scottsdale. He had his blinker on the entire time. And you knew he was exiting the freeway at one point.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Very good.
It's just, to me, the lack of creativity, and you might want to call for transparency, but to be that transparent and what your strategy is, that's detrimental, man.
Well, I mean, at that point, if that's... You know what? Let's take a break, and we'll continue this talk. I like this conversation. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We'll be right back. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Appreciate the fodder. Twitter questions, everything. We're here for you, so ask away.
Did you see our guy AZ Cardinals Outsider at Outsider AZ with his own little mock draft?
Yeah, man.
What'd it go? He went four deep, and then, like, Wisely was basically like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going rounds 5 through 7 because if you know prospects that deep in the draft, then you're sick. You probably need help.
Yeah.
You probably need help.
But, read a book.
Good stuff from our guy Jason. I thought what the Cardinals were doing there in the second round was basically what Jason did and what he outlined as far as his mock draft was he went with Locked On Podcast Chalk. He thinks that they go Bosa number one overall. And then address the interior of that defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. You're looking at a team that's stout on the defensive line.
Right.
Starting next year. As far as Riley Ridley, the Georgia wide receiver at number 3, I'm not impressed with Ridley. I don't think he's nearly as talented as his brother who plays for the Falcons. But it's addressing a need, right? Uh-huh. And then you go offensive line in the 4th round with the tackle from USC. I mean, it clearly addresses needs, and I think if Steve Keim were able to pull off this draft, that it would be highly graded.
Yeah, so, and it's that defense would be, eons better than it was last year.
An absolute strength.
Yeah, but you'd be looking at what the Rams were 4 years ago with a great defense and no offense.
Mm-hmm.
So with Steve Keim, and I'm just going to answer your question. You posed it before the break. If they draft Kyler Murray, it's like, well, duh.
Yeah.
You know, and this whole, he smokes, we're giving him too much credit here, which is, that's been the question. Is Steve Keim cognizant and smart, intellectual enough to play this, you know, have this facade dancing around the Cardinals for 2.5 months? Is it possible for him to be able to do that? And we don't know. If they draft Kyler Murray, it's like, you know what? Just say it. You know what? If everybody thinks you're going to do something, everybody thinks they're going to draft Kyler Murray right now,
mm-hmm.
except for us. Bob McManaman, AZ Central, thinks it's going to be Nick Bosa. All the mock drafts. And again, there's some inherent value with all of the media members that are saying Kyler Murray because it'll make everybody's job more fun if Kyler Murray goes number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, it's like picking, I don't know, Texas Tech because they're your favorite team and they end up getting to the Final Four in the championship game, but it wasn't necessarily the best pick going forward. It was just there's some inherent value there because you have another vested interest in it. Yeah. And you're picking with your job with these media members that will make their jobs easier and more fun. With Steve Keim, if that's actually true, he has no merit. He's the same Steve Keim as we always knew.
Right. We read his moves even before he maybe even knew about him, right? I mean, we talked about the she's all that.
Yeah, seriously.
Theory, right? And where he has to take this unwanted object and then kind of present it as something that is, you know, it's
for
it's,
everybody else
it's taking
to want.
A homely girl and turning her into a babe, right?
Yeah.
So, and then he falls in love along the way, right. And it, maybe that happened. But there's so many ways you can dissect this into a failure for the front office, another failure despite getting who they wanted at number one. It's one, you were as transparent as possible,
right?
And then you look at the long line of what they said, and then how they dealt with Josh Rosen. That's brutal to me.
Oh, no, agreed.
The fact that he's in the building and he's working out with his teammates only to get a plane ticket out of here, a one-way ticket out of Arizona.
And at this point, I don't know if you're going to draft Kyler Murray. Just know that you're not going to get the worth that you want for Josh Rosen. Just take the best offer. Take the highest second-round pick you can and let's go. Because they scored 14.1 points per game last year, Bo, and they've done zero. Position player-wise on the offensive side of the ball of impact. And I get if you want to double down on defense, but if you bring Kyler Murray in here with zero assets, I know they were talking if you're going to draft Kyler Murray at one, you'll draft Antonio Brown's cousin at two, his number one receiver at Oklahoma. Fine, but that puts you with Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, and Antonio Brown's cousin. That's and Kevin White, who hasn't played more than a season in his 4 years
Hollywood
in the NFL.
Brown, Daniel Jeremiah says he's the number one wide receiver in the... In the draft. He said that he's better than DeSean Jackson was coming out of Cal.
Well, I guess we'll find out. We know as much as we did yesterday as we do today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow regardless. Locked on Cardinals.